Let's turn now in the scriptures to the second passage that we were reading. That's John chapter 8, and we'll read again from verse 12. John 8, and reading again from verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You'll be aware that on our Sabbath evening services, we've been going through a series on Joshua. And you'll notice that tonight we're leaving that series aside for this occasion. And we're simply coming to this individual text from the New Testament, a text that brings before us the gospel in all its clarity. And we seek to remind ourselves of the precious truths of that gospel, to taste again the blessing of Christ Jesus proclaimed as Saviour. And oh, that we would see him in this passage, and that we who are the Lord's people would feast upon him, and that those not yet the Lord's people would come to see him and to see his sufficiency to be their Saviour. Now, John has written us a very interesting gospel, very, very different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The first three gospels are primarily chronological histories. They wish to record the events in the life of Jesus as they occurred, one after the other. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke follow that pattern. Obviously, the events that they choose to record, the particular events they focus on, are sometimes different. There are details that differ of minor significance, but broadly speaking, they are, each of them, these chronological biographies. But when we come to John, we find a different approach altogether. John has written us a theological gospel. He is interested in who the Lord Jesus is and in what that means for you and me. So his whole focus is about the divinity of the Lord Jesus, the saving work that Jesus came to accomplish. And his gospel is structured around that. He is not so concerned with the precise details of chronology, and sometimes the events therefore occur in a different order within John's gospel. Although, of course, there is no discrepancy in terms of actual point of fact between John's gospel and the others. Especially what we'll find in John's gospel is seven major statements of who Jesus Christ is, the I Ams. In each of these statements, the Lord Jesus says, I am. And we find this sequence of seven of them as we follow through the gospel of John, this continual focus on who Jesus is and on the saving significance of that message. The children here will probably come to learn these statements at some point in their time in the Sabbath school or going through their education. And these are precious verses indeed, revealing to us the preciousness of Christ. See if you can remember them. We start off, first of all, John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. He that believeth on me, he that cometh unto me, shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Then again we come to this one. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Then as we go on through the gospel, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In the same chapter, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. Then again, as we progress through the gospel, I am the resurrection and the life. These words of the Lord Jesus with regard to the death of his friend Lazarus. I am the resurrection and the life. Then again, as we progress through the gospel statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then finally, in John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The Lord Jesus, united to his people. Each of these statements is full of gospel truths. Each of them is well worthy of study. But tonight we simply pluck this individual one. I am the light of the world. And let us seek to open up that statement tonight. What does that mean? And what is the significance of that for my life, for your lives, as we come to consider it together? So that's our theme, Christ, the light of the world. Firstly, let's see. He is the light of revelation. He is the light of revelation. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's a solemn message contained here, isn't there? If the Lord Jesus is light, if he is the light of the world, then what does that say about this world apart from the Lord Jesus Christ? Doesn't this statement tell us straight away that we inhabit a world in darkness? A world that is full of the darkness of the ignorance of God. A world that does not know God. And apart from the Lord Jesus, a world that can never know God. A world that if it refuses the Lord Jesus, has no hope of ever being reconciled and reunited to God himself. It's the worst kind of darkness. A darkness not around, but a darkness inside. A darkness of the mind. A darkness that has come over the brain so that we cannot see, we cannot discern the Lord's hands. We cannot recognize him in the world around us. Just as we were reading in John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's the tragedy. We don't even recognize God. We don't discern him by nature. We are in a world of darkness, and we are creatures of darkness by nature. The darkness prevails, and the tragedy is that leaves us in total ignorance of God. The darkness conceals. It hides things. You know that, children, don't you? You're out walking at night when it's dark. No one can see you. You are hidden. You are concealed by the darkness. You look in a lit window, you can see the people inside, but you yourself, you are invisible, clothed with the darkness. And even when someone is there, you don't recognize them. The darkness covers them. I used to live in the building which is the place of worship of the Inverness congregation of the FCC. There was an upstairs flat which I rented during my student years there. And it was quite an eerie place to stay. It was far out of Inverness, far beyond the street lights, right out on the hill, a house on its own, separate from any other dwelling, and all around in the dead of night was pitch darkness. Sometimes I would have to go down to switch off lights in the church, and that had to be done in a little booth that used to be the bar in the days when it was a restaurant. The light would be switched off in the control panel, and then I would have to walk back through the darkness back towards the lit part of the building. And it was eerie, the building creaking around you, the darkness, that sense that you could see no one there. Once I bumped into someone as I was coming through that darkness. It was an alarming experience. It was frightening. I wasn't sure, was it a burglar? And the man I bumped into wasn't sure if it was a burglar either. This was actually Morris Roberts, the minister of the congregation, who lived in the manse part of the building. And we bumped into each other, and we were both startled, alarmed. We did not recognize one another at first. The darkness. And you see, the tragedy is, we are living in a world like that, a world of darkness, and God is there, and we do not discern him. We do not recognize him. John 1:10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Think of the tragedy of that, the Creator. And men do not discern the hand of that Creator. That is the darkness of this world, and it's in that darkness that Christ shines, that he is the light of the world, the light that summons attention to him. You know, children, that's when a light does. When a light shines in darkness, you look towards that light. It instantly draws the eye. You know, if you're ever going in a plane and the stewardess is doing the safety demonstration, and you'll hear her showing the life jacket, saying if you're out in the water, you can use the whistle, you can use the light to attract attention. You shine that light and the lifeboat will see you and will come to collect you. The light draws attention. And Christ is like that. He's come into this world as a light, drawing the attention of men. John 1:9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Never imagine that the gospel is hidden or that it's some kind of secret message. The gospel is proclaimed openly. If only men would read it, if only men would hear it preached, if only they would listen. And yet, though it lights every man, yet the people of this world choose darkness rather than light. That's the tragedy of sinful man. Sinful man loves the darkness. And though the light is there, though the light calls the attention of every man in this world, yet they turn away from it. Christ is the light of the world. And he himself is the light. The light, you see, reveals, and it reveals a person. It reveals the Lord Jesus himself. He shines forth as that light, the light sent from God. He's called a son of God. And he truly is that. He is a person who is not merely a man, who is God himself. The world was made by him. From all eternity, he was the Son of God, united in love with Father and with Spirit. The true God, the living God. And who can comprehend the brilliance of this being, the true Son of God? He is truly a Son, and therefore he is truly a Son. A sun that shines with that light. You think of Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Sun of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And then again, Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. So you see, the Lord Jesus shines forth, revealing himself to this world, calling attention to himself. He is the Son of God. He reveals that purity, that brilliance, that holiness. I am the light of the world. Have you seen Christ yet? Have you really understood who he is? You've seen him revealed in his word, revealed in the testimony of God's people, spoken of, discussed, sung of in these Psalms. The Lord Jesus, the Saviour, the light of the world. Have you been summoned by his gospel? Have you been called to come and to trust in him for salvation? You know, there are only two responses to seeing that light. Either we can draw nearer or we can turn away. Are you drawing nearer? Are you walking closer to that light, seeking to know more of him? Seeking to experience more of his light, of his brilliance. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That's what life is like for the Christian. We are seeing more light. It doesn't always feel like it. We go through periods of doubt and of darkness, valleys and troughs, but for the most part, it is advancing knowledge, a growing experience of God and of the light of Christ. Is that you walking towards him? Or are you rather turning away and departing? Is Christ for you the light that is vanishing behind the distant hills, far, far away? And it's just the last remnants of that light in the sky. And soon, perhaps, he will be gone entirely. Is that you? Ask yourself, are you refusing Christ this night? I am the light of the world. But is he your light? Very well then. Firstly, he is the light of revelation. But let's come to see secondly, he is the light of illumination. a light that shines. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now it's quite plain that without light we have only darkness, and without the light of Christ we are entirely in darkness. It's the darkness of danger. You know, darkness is a dangerous thing. You can't see the hazards. You can't see the danger. The Lord Jesus says, he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goes. You can't see the pitfalls. You can't see the snares. I remember one time I was working in the Inverness area. I was driving the car and one of the headlights blew out. And I didn't pay too much attention to it, as I should have. And then driving somewhere at night, the other headlight blew out. Now, if there's no other cars around, that's not a problem, because you have a second set of headlights called the full beams, which are very, very bright. But of course, the danger is, as soon as you click off the full beams, if your other headlights are gone, you've got virtually nothing. You've got two little side lights, but they might as well be tiny candles for all the light they provide. And suddenly, I'm finding myself driving along at 40 miles an hour in pitch blackness, seeing nothing. All of the hazards that could be there, all of the dangers, and I can't see them because I have to turn my lights down. I had a rummage. I eventually managed to find that I still had a fog light that was working. One of them was knocked out, but one of the others was still going. And that created a little puddle of light, enough to get me home that night. But of course, it was a dangerous situation to be in. Now you see, we are like that if we are trying to navigate this world without the light of Christ. It's like we're blundering through a familiar room. We know the room, and yet our head's knocking off the light shade above. Our knee is knocking off the coffee table below. We're bumping, we're shuffling our way through this room, and that's fine if it's just a room. But what if there's real dangers? What if there are man traps and razor wire and landmines? What if there are the hazards of a really dangerous world? And the reality is that this is a dangerous world, because this is a world full of sin, and sin is a very dangerous thing. And without the light of Christ, we don't discern the evil of sin. And it's all around us, and the danger is all around us. And we're blundering through it, falling from one sin into another. And it's becoming worse, and it's becoming worse. And before us looms the darkness of the judgment of God, the righteous judgment of God against sin. Oh, that we would heed the warnings. Oh, that we would listen. Oh, that we would see the light that shines and receive that light for ourselves. Christ, then, is the light that shines. He's the light that shows us ourselves, isn't he? He shines with brightness, with illumination, and forces us to see ourselves as we truly are. And this is often the first stage in Christian experience. As you come to read the scriptures, as you come to hear of the gospel, that you start to recognize that you're not quite the person you thought you were. Before, you judged yourselves by the light of this world. If somebody asked you, are you a good person, are you a bad person? You would say, well, I've never hurt anyone. I've never really caused anyone too much bother, too much trouble in this world. I think I'm a pretty good person. I'm certainly better than this person or that person. You judge yourself by this standard, you see? And that standard is an easy standard. There's no man on this earth who could look at everyone around him and couldn't find somebody that he thinks is a worse person than him. But that light, the light of Christ, that reveals us as we truly are. And that's a painful experience, because we see ugliness where before we'd thought there was beauty. We see that self-centeredness. We think we're kind people. And yet when the light of Christ shines on us, what self-centeredness is exposed. What lustfulness, what pride, what covetousness. We study ourselves and we find ourselves just one hideous mass of sin. We look at our past life by the light of the Word and by the light of Christ. And what do we see but one sin after another? And we realize, my state is vile beyond imaginings. I deserve God's judgment. And the light, it shows us, yes, ourselves, but it shows us our path. It shows us where we are going. And by that light, the light of Christ, we see the coming judgment. We realise that we are walking along a path that leads to hell and to damnation forever. And that if we will not turn aside, we will not believe in Christ and receive him as Saviour, then that will most certainly be our end. It's a fearful thought, isn't it? To have our end revealed to us. It's described in Scripture as a place of outer darkness. Jude describes those going there in these terms. Jude chapter 1 verse 13. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And that's the judgment of God, darkness. That darkness forever, without hope of light, without hope of reprieve, nothing but outer darkness and the chains of darkness forever. That is the certain destination of those who are found outside of Christ. Ask yourself, is that light starting to shine for me? Am I starting to see the reality of who I actually am and of where I'm actually going if I don't receive Christ as Saviour? Do I see the destination that awaits beyond the grave? And do I start to see the urgency, the vital necessity of having Christ as Saviour? Do you see that God is totally just in condemning your sins? Do you see that your sins make you entirely deserving of his wrath and curse? Do you see that your sins lead to an eternal hell? Oh, study the Scriptures. Examine yourself, not by the standard of this world, by the standard of this book, and find if that is not the case, and if apart from Christ, you have any other hope of escaping the darkness of God's judgment. He is the light who shows you yourself and shows you where you are going. So Christ then is the light of revelation. He is the light of illumination. But thirdly, let's see, he is the light of hope. He is the light of hope. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The reality is, if he is this light of hope, then what does that say about us without him? If he is a light that is leading to salvation, that's leading to the place of safety, where are we left without him? Just reflect on that for a moment. Reflect upon the darkness of an eternity apart from Christ. It's the darkness of utter despair, isn't it? If Christ is the light of hope, then without him, we are left in total despair. What is the darkness of hell? It's described by the Lord Jesus like this, Matthew 22:13. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That description pictures for us a place utterly without hope, outer darkness, a place of such complete darkness that there is no hope of return, there is no hope of escape. It is a place of permanence. And there, we're told, there is weeping, sadness, there is gnashing of teeth. That means regret. That means mourning over the past opportunities of escape that were rejected and refused. That's a place of ugliness that is described there. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And who would wish to be in such a place? To be experiencing there the darkness of all hope gone. Who can picture it? Who can imagine the darkness of hell? Some people tell us that hell is the absence of God. They have a point. It's certainly the absence of many of the positive qualities of God that we experience in this world. His grace, his love, his joy, his mercy, his peace. All of these are entirely absent from hell. But God is, of course, there. Hell is his creation. He has made it for its purpose. It is there to serve as the place of punishment for sin. And God is there in his wrath, in his anger. He is there punishing sin. And his wrath is the central part of hell. The sufferings of hell are not primarily down to devils and demons and other wretches suffering there also. It is the wrath of God against you, and God bringing your sins to your mind, and God making you feel the evil of them and the misery of them for all eternity. It is a place of darkness where the light of Christ is absent, and there is only the darkness of the wrath of God against sin. These are solemn and difficult doctrines. They're not easy to preach. Maybe you're doubting in your own mind whether there can truly be such a place as hell. But understand, if you take the scriptures to be the word of God, then you're left without any alternative. Take, for example, the text in Revelation 14 and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. What does that text mean if it doesn't refer to the sufferings of the wicked forever in hell? Ask yourself that. Is there a clever way to get round that text, to pretend it's not there, to evade the force of these words? It's not easy. And yet, the strongest proof of hell of all, of course, is found when we look at the Lord Jesus himself, suffering upon the cross of Calvary, enduring there the wrath of God against sin. If you're saying that the wrath of God against sin can somehow be lessened, can somehow be weakened, then what you're doing is you're trying to lessen the solemnity of what Christ suffered there. You're trying to mitigate the scale of Christ's sacrifice on behalf of his people. See the darkness that covered Christ as he suffered on that cross. That's the darkness of hell. That pictures for us hell as that place of outer darkness. And Christ bore there the despair. He endured the power of darkness that he might set his people free, that he might liberate them from that curse. The light shines because Christ went through these experiences. Now, if these things we're speaking of are true, then don't you see how this brings us back to our text with renewed urgency? If there is this place of outer darkness looming, then how we need to hear the message that Christ gives us here. I am the light of the world. How we need to hear of Christ as the light. What banishes darkness? Light. Nothing easier. Switch on the light. The darkness is gone. Gone in a moment. Gone in an instant. It is triumphed over. The light triumphs over the darkness. And that's the point. Christ is that light who can sweep away all darkness out of your life, out of your experience. He can destroy it entirely. He has suffered the darkness, he has endured, and he now shines as the victor over all the darkness of all the sins of all his people. He is the Saviour, thus revealed. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and therefore he shines now as the one offering to us the gospel of salvation. In Jesus Christ we have absolute perfection. We see him as the light shining, the one of perfect holiness. There is no spot, there is no stain on his holiness. He is absolute perfection, and he shines with that perfection. He shines with complete sufficiency, able to sweep away all the darkness out of your soul. He is able to triumph over every sin you have ever committed. His light shines that brightly. He is that sufficient a Saviour. His blood is enough to wash these sins away. And he shines with compassion as well. A light is a precious thing, a beloved thing. And the Lord's light shines with that compassion. He reveals himself for the sake of sinners like you and me, revealing the hope of salvation, revealing the hope of an eternity with himself. There is compassion, compassion in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ideal Saviour. And thus he is the light that shows us the way home. The light that shines in the midst of the darkness of this life to show us that is the way. That's the way to eternal salvation. That is the path to heaven. That's the path to God's place of eternal blessing. So follow him. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, that we too would be found this night following the Lord Jesus. Ultimately, that's all the gospel, isn't it? To trust in Christ and not in yourself. To rest upon another and not upon your own deeds. To follow the light of Christ rather than following the darkness and the dark inclinations of your own wicked heart. You see, how we're called to follow Christ. Will you follow him where he leads? Will you choose his path? The light of life shines from Christ. The light of that other life, that higher life, that better life, that eternal life that is to come. It shines through Christ. It is revealed in him. So will you come to that light this night and experience for yourself the path that leads unto light? Remember the precious words of Zacharias, speaking of the coming of the Lord Jesus, Luke 1:79. He said that Christ came to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Isn't that a beautiful description of how Christ works as the light? He shows us the path. He guides our feet into it. He leads us on the road to everlasting salvation. The way of peace is made plain in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is truly the light of the world. Just as we come to a close, a couple of points of application. If you're not yet one of the Lord's people, don't you see from this passage the urgency, the pressing urgency of coming to know the Lord for yourself? Just now is the time of mercy. Just now is the time when you've got the opportunity to come, when you're being called, when you have the light shining, when you have the light revealed to you in preaching, in the reading of God's word, the testimony of God's people. You have it all about you. The light is shining. This is the time. This is the opportunity of salvation. Says the Lord Jesus, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And if there is a night approaching, when that light is gone, what then? What if you leave it too late? What if the light has departed before you are ready to seek Christ? Therefore his call comes to you. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And oh, that our ears were open to the voice of Christ. To those of you who may be seeking Christ, who feel that you would like yourselves to be counted amongst his people, who think that you see that light starting to arise, that you feel that you're starting to see with more clarity, with more sufficiency, the Lord Jesus revealed to you in the pages of Scripture. See that he is the only Saviour. See that he is the light of the world. See that you have no alternative. You will never make a path to heaven by your own efforts, by your own deeds. The only way is by following Christ. Are you willing to follow him, to walk in his ways, to be guided by his paths? Oh, we pray. We call upon you that you would indeed come to trust in Christ as Saviour. Will you not look to him even this night? Repent of your sins and trust in him and find that he is willing to receive and willing to save. And to those of us who are the Lord's people, let's see the light that we enjoy in Christ. He is our light and he is precious to us. He is the one to guide our steps through this world. He is the one to show us all that is to come. The day is dawning. The sun is arising. We are those whose path is shining more and more unto the perfect day. And that experience of light is yet to be in all its fullness and all its greatness. Think of it, we're told in Revelation that the city of God, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. If that's you described there, then see the hope that is set before you to walk, to live eternally in the light of Christ. Oh, that every one of us might be truly found in that eternal place. May God grant that it is so. Amen.